Today is Father's Day. I'm going to ask the children if you want to. Did you want to come to the front? If the children want to come to the front, let's talk a little bit about Father's Day. So you get to come to the front. If you want to come to the front here, we're going to talk a little bit about our dads. We're going to talk a little bit about our Lord Jesus. Frank, you're a bit bigger, but I do need you. Yeah. Would you give me that first mic there? Yeah. Thanks. You know, yesterday, the last couple of days, Friday night and then until yesterday morning, some of the fathers and sons went out to the Pine Lodge Bible Camp, right? Yeah, you can sit on the floor here or on the bench, or you can come sit here. Now, some of you that were there, were some of you at that Bible camp, Pine Lodge? Yeah, you were, right? And what did I talk about the disciples? Do you remember the story about where were Jesus and his disciples? Were they in a boat?
Yeah.
And were they scared?
No. Yeah.
Yeah, they were at first, right? Yeah. And then Jesus woke up and then they were okay, right? Well, you know what? The disciples had some other experiences with Jesus in the boat, and they were scared too. I was reminded of when we went swimming with my grandsons. My grandsons are about they're 3, 4, and 6 years old. Well, I don't know how many of you are 6, but probably quite a few. You're 5? Do you like going down the water slide? Yeah, I remember the first time my grandsons came down the water slide. They were waiting. They waited to slide down till their dad was catching them at the bottom because they weren't sure that this was going to happen, that they wouldn't go under the water. And so they were afraid to come down until they saw their dad at the bottom of the water slide. And then they were okay. Are you sometimes afraid? Yeah? No, never? Those are brave words. That's right.
If you're in a close up and there's a long water slide, I would be afraid.
Not afraid.
Love water.
Yeah, there we go. But I'm sure there might be some of you that might be. If not, I remember that when I was a little boy and when I got afraid, and especially for a long time, I was afraid of thunderstorms. And this, what we're going to read today, is a thunderstorm that happened and the disciples were on the lake. So I want you to imagine that it's yesterday and we had a long thunderstorm, right? That was pretty noisy, wasn't it? There's one big one. That's right. That lightning was pretty close. But what I want you to imagine is that it's pitch black and you're in the middle of the lake in a small boat. The motor doesn't work. And you're just paddling. That's where the disciples were. They were in the middle of the lake with their boat, and they were rowing, and it was stormy. And you know what happened? When they were trying to stare into the darkness, I mean, how can you see something in the darkness other than maybe when the lightning flashes? And maybe it was when the lightning flashed that they saw somebody. Now, if you were in the middle of the lake and you were in the boat and it was stormy and you saw somebody, what would you think?
Jesus.
You'd think it was Jesus walking on the water? Some kids have been in Sunday school. They know the right answers. That's right. They saw, but you know, before they knew that it was Jesus, what did they think it was? What did they think it was? You can. A ghost. They thought it was a ghost. You're right. Because there was no other boats. There was somebody walking on the water. And I know your dads are pretty good, but do they walk on water?
No.
No?
Jesus.
So it must have been Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And you know what Jesus called out to them? Because they were pretty scared.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. It's me. It's me." And I remember my dad saying to me, "Don't be scared. I'm here. You know that even when I remember walking upstairs, because I slept in the basement, and I remember going upstairs when it was thunderstorm and the power went off, and I remember Dad sitting in the living room, and he had a candle, I imagine, or one of those lamps, and he would say, "Come in here," and I wasn't scared anymore. You know, just like our dads, they're big and they're strong, and they can protect us, and they care for us in the same way God cares for us more than even our daddies do. And so anytime you are afraid, or if you ever should be afraid, you can always remember that God is there, even if your dad isn't close by. But I bet you that a lot of times you'll find your dad there as well. So, what I'm going to give you an opportunity. Would you like to say Happy Father's Day to your dad? Yeah? Okay. If you want to do that, you can come. I'll let you come up. You come here and you can say it into the mic. And then you go and sit where your dad is. And when you walk back to your dad, you say Happy Father's Day. Give him high five, whatever you do with your dad. Okay? So who's going to come first?
Me.
Okay, you may come. And then just quietly line up, and you can just come say Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Okay, now you go tell him. Okay, you're going to say?
Happy Father's Day.
Someone else?
Happy Father's Day.
Okay. You can go back to your seat, or you can come say Happy Father's Day. Either way.
Happy Father's Day.
Anyone else? Happy Father's Day? Okay, you can go back to your seats.
Happy Father's Day.
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 No? Can I say?
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Do you want to say Happy Father's Day? No. Thank you, children. You can go back to your parents now. You can go back to your parents now. Yeah. Father's Day. It's a pretty special day, and you know it's so neat to see the little children and the trust and the faith that they have in fathers. It's interesting that as children we don't stay that age, do we? Now I want the next class to come sit with me. Well, I'll let you stay sitting, but you know we grow, don't we? And it's interesting that as we grow older, then things change. All of a sudden you're 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, and you're just waiting for Dad to come home from work. You want to play catch with him. You want to go fishing. You want to, whatever it is, there's so many things that we enjoy, but as children, we wait for Dad to come home. We listen for that familiar sound, whether it's a vehicle, whether it's a garage door opening, whether it's a door opening, but there's an anticipation for Dad to come home and to be able to connect with him. You want to play video games with Dad, right? Not too many dads can beat the kids at video games, right? Probably we don't have enough hours to practice the way they do. But I know I have yet to beat my grandsons because they always bring out a new game and then I'm the one that has to practice, but they like it. And we grow older. And somehow it seems that times change and all of a sudden between you and Dad there's a misunderstanding. Or you don't get your way. And all of a sudden there's tension between dad and child. dad and son, dad and daughter. You know, your dad isn't perfect. My dad wasn't perfect. I'm not perfect. And in our imperfection, we desire what is best for you. We love those times to watch you as you grow, to watch the changes in your life. We wish that we could be perfect. We wish we didn't make some of the mistakes we did, but we do. In spite of our imperfections, we do love you. And I would encourage you to as a daughter, as a son, love your dad. Look for the opportunities to have that special relationship with him. Your dad has enough love for each and every one of you as his children. He doesn't have special children. He has a love for each and every one of you. I wish I could say that all dads do their very best. And I think generally that is true. We do our very best. But you know, there are some dads who also abuse their children. Could be physically, could be emotionally, sometimes even sexually. And if that should be your situation, I want you to remember two things. First thing I want you to remember is that God is a perfect Father. If you've been hurt and scarred by a father, and you don't have any fond memories of a father, I want you to remember that Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 said that God is the perfect Father. The second thing I want you to remember is that not all men are like that. And that's sometimes really hard, to not think of all men in the same way. Look for and get to know a father. Watch to see a father who treats his children with love and with respect. And get to know such a man so that you have a pattern, that you have an example. Maybe you're here today and you're growing up without a father. Remember, Paul in Corinthians said, I will be a father to you. You will be my sons and my daughters. God is your father. You are his son and his daughter. The psalmist said that God is a father to the fatherless. He cares. He's there. You know, as you think of your dad and your relationship with your dad, you have a lot to do with that relationship as well. We as the dads, yes, we are the ones who should be taking the initiative in things. But there is a special place for you in your response, in your relationship with your dad. In Proverbs, the second chapter, Solomon, King David's son, wrote this, and he talked about something that will protect us, that will guide us, that will keep us from all the evil that is in the world. We think our world is evil today. But you know that world was evil way back then. And the Solomon says to here, he says, let's shut this thing off. Solomon says here, he says in Proverbs chapter 2, he says, my son, if you accept, notice the word accept. If you accept my words, if you store up my commands, store up my commands within you, If you turn your ear to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand. Look at what he says here about how you can have a very special life. Your life does not have to hit a ditch. Even during your teenage years. During those years, ages 10, 11, 12, when there's so many changes in your life, you're changing schools, your friends, the conversations they have, they become so different. You don't need to walk in the same way as the world does. He says, if we listen, if we accept, if we store up, if we turn our ear, if we apply that which we learn, we call out, we cry, we look, we search, it will take effort. It won't come automatically. No relationship does come automatically, and it's no different for children with their parents. But if these things are there, he says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. You will understand what life is really about. You will find the knowledge of God, for God, the Lord, gives wisdom. He gives from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of the faithful ones. These are God's promises. What happens when his word, when he is allowed to have free course in your life, when he is allowed to reign in your life, you don't enjoy this type of thing without really applying yourself to those things. The neat thing is that God has all the power. God has everything there, wisdom, knowledge, understanding. It's all there. All you have to do is avail yourself of it. Children, youth, young adults, if your dad gave you his visa and it had a $100,000 line of credit, and he said to you, you know what? I want you to go and use this. You can use it any way you like, except that I desire for it to be used well. What'd you do? Where'd you go? I think you'd just cut it up and throw it in the garbage, right? You'd say, oh no, Dad. I'd rather not. Our Heavenly Father, in the book of Proverbs, is offering us wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And all he says we have to do is avail ourselves of it. And we say, oh no, Father, that's okay. I'll live in my own cheap way. If we don't, if we do use our Heavenly Father's credit card, here's another then. Twice he uses the word then. In verse 5 he says, then you will understand. Verse 9 he says, then you will understand. What will you understand? You will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. We don't like to be cheated on. We don't like something that's not fair. And how easy as children, we say that often, right? That's not fair. My brother cheated. We don't like that. And here he says that through wisdom, God's wisdom, knowledge and understanding, we can know what is right and just and fair. For wisdom will enter your heart, knowledge will be pleasant to your soul, discretion will protect you, understanding will guard you. Young people, young adults, there's some real value in your relationship with your parents. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. You'll forever be sorry. If you allow something to come between you and your dad, you and your parents, and you just let it go and let it go. Become your dad's best friend. Be buddies. Enjoy the things you do together. Dads, we have a privilege. We have an incredible, joyful, exciting privilege as dads. Psalm 127 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves." Many, many of you here this morning, dads, are young men. Some of you are just married, don't have children yet. Some of you have young children, preschool children. Many of you have children in school already. And you know what? I have a feeling that there are days where you feel like what he says here. He says, "In vain you rise early and stay up late." It seems like you're spinning your wheels. It seems like life is so busy. And it is true. At your stage of the game as young men and women, starting your families, you are the most busiest stage of your lives. Everything is in startup mode. More than likely, you'll have the most debt you'll ever have. You will have the most pressure job-wise. You will have the least support by way of life experiences. You're going into so many new things. 30 years down the road, you're going to have a lot of life's experiences under your belt. And now you don't need them. Well, yeah, you do. Now we can pour them into our grandchildren. But do you know that God knows where you are at? God planned and instituted the family the way it is. It's normal what you are going through. And God knows what 2009 is like. God knows what your job is like. God knows all of the pressures. And he intends that you will still build your house with the Lord. Notice twice he says, "unless the Lord." Everything is vain, and everything feels like it is a spinning out of control unless the Lord is the center of your life. When the Lord is the center of your life as a dad, then the pressures you face at work, the pressures you face financially, the pressures you face at home, they take a different perspective and a proper perspective. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. Did you notice the words heritage, reward, blessed, not put to shame? Those are positive things. Those are things that come about when the Lord is the center of my personal life and the Lord is the center of my home. You know, dads, we've been given an incredible stewardship in our families, an incredible responsibility. And yet with that, we've been given an incredible joy. If there's anything I can encourage you to do, no matter where you are at, whether we're grandpas, whether we're just starting out our families, enjoy your family. enjoy your family. Take time for them. Take time to enjoy the family. The family you will take with you into eternity. Whatever you earn here, whatever you work at here, that's all going to stay here. It's not coming with you. Enjoy your family. You know, it's not the big things. It's really probably, even though your children may want you to believe otherwise for a while, it's not the things that you buy and the money that you have that's going to create happiness in your home. It isn't. It's the time that you spend with your family. It's the memories that you make. It's the things that work out and the things that don't work out. When they've done a study of families that have been healthy families and families that enjoyed each other, you know, was the highest, the biggest thing that they've thread that they found through all of this? It's camping. Camping. Guess what? Why? Because you cannot escape from each other in a tent. Or even in our holiday trailers. That's pretty close quarters. And they find, doesn't it happen that if you plan to go camping on a weekend, that's the weekend it rains? And so you're putting up tarps, you're trying to keep a fire going, or you're inside, cramped inside. In all of that, there's memories as funny things begin to be talked about and happen. And you get home, and it usually does not matter whether it's rained or whether it's been sunshine. It's the memory that you made. Dads, our words have a great impact on our kids. Proverbs 16:24, Solomon says, "Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body." John Trent in Christianity Today tells a story of James. James was on his first date, his first daddy-daughter date, with his four-year-old daughter. They'd gone to the local fast food restaurant. His daughter ordered pancakes. And as James and his daughter bowed their head and they gave thanks for the food, and then James took his little daughter's hand and he began to tell his little daughter, this is what he said. He said, "I want you to know how much I love you, how special you are to Mom and me. We couldn't be prouder of the wonderful girl you're growing up to be. If we lined up every girl your age in the whole city and we could pick only one, guess who we'd choose every time? You." Finished, James let go of his daughter's hand and was going to start eating. But he never even got the fork to his mouth, and his little daughter reached over, put her hand on his and said, "Longer, Daddy. Longer." And so James listed some more ways and more reasons how they loved her. A couple of weeks later, that little girl ran up to her mummy, and she must have this made such an impression. She says, "Mummy, I'm a really special daughter because Daddy said so." Men, our words are incredibly important. Our affirmations, our approval, our children look and long for our approval. Philip Ryken talks about the first season where his son played ball. And he says that he repeatedly hit the tee instead of the ball, and it was obvious what the problem was. He wasn't keeping his eye on the ball. He was looking right at me instead. He was unable to get a base hit until Philip stepped out of sight. And Phil says, we joked about it the rest of the season, Well, what the incident showed is the power of a father's approval. My son wanted me to take pleasure in his accomplishment even before he accomplished it. I observed the same desire at work the time he caught a pop fly. Before he threw the ball over to first base to complete the double play, he glanced over his shoulder to make sure I'd seen his catch. He says, in a way, I'm touched that my son wants me to take pleasure in his success, but I'm also awestruck by my responsibility as a father. A father's love means almost everything to a child. It establishes his or her identity. It brings peace, security, and joy. If a father's affection matters so much, then I want it to be easy to win. Austin Sorensen said that a child is not likely to find a father in God unless he finds something of God in his father. A child is not likely to find a father in God unless he finds something of God in his father. Pastor Al Sarah, he wanted to have a sermon illustration. And so he took a preschool, probably this group of kids that was up here. He went to their Sunday school class and he asked them, the children, if they would draw a picture of God. And after the class, the children came to him and proudly showed him as their pictures of God. There was a rainbow. There was a man with big hands. There's all kinds of pictures. And then his little daughter came up to him and said, I don't know what God looks like, so I just drew you. Is that what our children would find? I don't know what God looks like, so I just drew you. Paul said to the Corinthian church, he said, follow my example as I follow Christ. Let's pray. We come to you, our Heavenly Father. Many of us are dads here this morning. You are the perfect Father. And in order for us to be good fathers, we want to discover you, because we need an example to follow. And so, Father, we want to follow you. We want to discover more about you so that we can be a father to our children. And then to be the example to our children that they will grow up and our sons will know how to be dads. Our sons will know how to treat women by the way we treat our wives. Our daughters will have an example and a pattern of a boyfriend that they will look to. A husband. When they're looking for a husband, they will choose young men who will be like their dads. But Father, we're living in a world that is full of sin and of evil. And so there are times that our earthly father gets taken from us and we grow up without a father in the home. And moms do such an incredible job, but somehow they cannot quite compensate. Father, show these young children, men and women, that you are their father, that they are your sons and daughters. In this world of evil, There are also dads who have shirked their responsibilities, who have not left much of anything for their children to follow. And there's such pain and hurt and a void in the children's lives. Some of us, myself included, we've grown up and we've watched with envy the relationships that others have. With their dads. We wish we could have that. Lord, whether there's a child, a teenager, who's watching with envy, or an adult, no matter what age we are, would you help us to discover you? Would you help us to realize that not all men are like that? And would you give us godly examples in our brother and our brothers in Christ within the church who can model for us what a godly man, a godly father is? Heal the hurt, Lord. Break the cycles. Do your work. You are our Father, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.